time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.
Welcome into another epic episode of the Voice of the Land. I am your host tonight, Always Positive Jay. My man Kevin Arnold will be joining us shortly. He's got he just got other stuff to do. And as always, my guy working his magic behind the scenes, producing, Peter Tellup, a.k.a. Audio. How are you today, Audio?
I'm doing well. We're flying by the seat of our pants here because we're kind of like...
We don't know what's going on.
This episode, we're making up as we go along.
It's going to be a chaotic episode.
More so
than
normal.
Who knows if anyone's seeing it? Who knows if anyone's going to be able to even hear it? But we're going to record it, and whatever happens, happens. We're brought to you by LPV Productions and
Vector Technical. They get you the right person,
the right job, the first time. I knew it, and I was doing it in my head beforehand, and I looked at the LPV Productions things on the screen, and I'm like, why am I talking about LPV Productions? Because we are brought to you by them, but our sponsorship is Vector Technical. We are in the Big Play Network. And, hey, man, we got Victory Wednesday for our show?
Victory Wednesday. It's not quite as exciting as Victory Monday.
No, because it's kind of worn off, yeah. And you're looking more towards the huge game in Baltimore. Ooh. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be breaking down last week's game. We got a huge show tonight. We got Mike McFadden coming on. And at the end of the show, we'll kind of talk a little Browns with them, but we're mainly going to talk a little video games with them and VR football he's been into lately. Maybe we'll talk a little Madden. And I never got to tell you guys about my trip when I was down in Florida with Mike. And he's got a story to tell us about a fish he caught recently with the guys from, I believe, Wicked Tuna, maybe? He'll correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
How was the game, though, for you Sunday? Well, how did you watch it?
Just watched it at home. And honestly, it was one of those things where, it was a little weird because I expected us to win, but I was nervous that we weren't going to. And
well, you are a Browns fan.
I'm a Browns fan.
And like I said on Twitter a few times this week, someone's like, "Man, this game makes me nervous." I'm like, "It's a Browns game. It makes me nervous."
Oh yeah.
I mean, they finally did not play down to their competition.
That's true. And as I notice here, looking at our stuff, we're not live on Facebook right now because.
Are we live on anything?
We're live on YouTube and Twitter right now. Nice. So apparently we lost our connection to Facebook because of course we did.
Computers, man. That's why I have you do that job, okay? Because I would probably have thrown that computer at the wall by now.
You probably would have.
But whoever's watching us and whatever platform you're watching us, it was nice to see him like, usually that's a game they'll lose and you'll see the rookie quarterback come in there and have like the only good game of his career and it's against us. But no, man, the defense shut him out first time since what, 2016 or something? 07? It was a long time.
Maybe Jacob remembers how many games it was.
07?
07?
I think it was 07. Okay. I think you're right.
Because it was like, I forget the stat, but it was like a crazy number of games. And I'm like, I honestly didn't realize we haven't shut out a team in that long.
And like everyone on the defensive line got a sack. We had turnovers. We didn't give any turnovers so that was nice. And I have to say, at first I thought Deshaun looked rusty, but as the game progressed and got going and his arm, it seemed like loosened up and he had some really nice deep throws. So that was definitely promising to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you always kind of have to worry because they keep talking about, like, oh, he's got to shake off the rust. He's got to shake off the rust. But, you know, how long does it take to shake off that rust? And how much rust is there? Because, you know, putting in car terms, right, there's a point where there's so much rust that there's nothing under the rust, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all of a sudden you're poking your finger through it. Yeah, you're poking your finger through the frame. It's all rust. So
good analogy there. Good analogy.
You know, I'm happy to see he did have some great throws. I think some of the shorter throws he seemed to. I forget who was mentioning this on. I was listening to it on the radio and they said it looked like he was pushing it. I think it was Fred Greetham with the Orange and Brown Report. Said it looked like the short throws he was like not really planting his feet and throwing it, like he was just shoving it with his arm instead of really like passing it. And some of his short throws I thought were not great, but those the long throws were, you know, he was pretty accurate. I did like the deflection off the defender's helmet for the touchdown.
Oh my God.
How hard did he throw that thing that it hit off the guy's helmet and went 20 yards forward?
Like that ball was in the air for like ever. I'm like, oh my God. Like, please get down, get down, get down. And then Amari, man, is that dude underrated.
Oh.
For real. Like, he is the truth when it comes to receiver, but he timed it, went right between the two receivers, and plucked it right out the air. Thank God. Like, it felt like, for once, the ball was kind of bouncing our way and stuff. But yeah. I don't know, it is the Arizona Cardinals at the same time.
True.
But, like I said, you didn't play down to them. You did what you were supposed to. And, it was a nice day. Like, I had a fantastic day. I took my nephew. It was his first game he's ever been to.
I saw the picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you finagle your way down there?
I got a guy. We'll just put it that way. I got a guy.
All right.
So he goes to the game. He's gone to a preseason game, but he was a lot younger. My brother took him. So this is now he's huge into football. And this guy is screaming in my ear the whole time. I'm like, yep, he's definitely from my family. Before the game, though, we get there early, and I take him to the team shop, and I'm like, well, what do you want? He's like, well, I can get something. I'm like, get whatever you want. He's like, can I get a jersey? I'm like, sure, get a jersey. And he's looked at, like, it was like an off-color Nick Chubb gray one, and I'm like, yeah, that one's cool. He's like, and we go around, and he's like, is that a Bernie Kosar? And I'm just like, dude, this kid is 12 years old, and he just asked me if that's a Bernie Kosar. Like, he wanted the Bernie, and he picked it out.
Nice.
$200-something later.
Ooh.
Yeah, but when you ain't got kids, I'll spoil my nephews all the time. So
I don't have the
constant bills that you create, as I'm pointing to your son there, Peter.
I know, we should just turn the other camera on him right now. So
just turn it on and make him turn on the mic and be like, huh, what?
Yeah, we'll just throw him on there.
But yeah, so I got him in the Bernie jersey. Of course, got to get him all the like stadium snacks and whatnot. And it was about the third quarter. Call my connect. And I'm like, hey, is there a chance I can get into the media room today? And he's like, yeah, for sure. Just come down to blah, 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 blah section. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, hey, see those little rooms over there where all, like, the media room and all the press, and that's where, like, the announcers are? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, would you want to go in there? He's like, how are we going to get in there? I'm like, hey, you know, I got a guy. So after the game, I get him in the media room. He actually, Hayden Grove was in there. And
oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm walking with my buddy. He's like, how the hell
friend,
do you know?
Friend of the show.
He's like, how do you know all these people? I'm like, yeah, I know some people nowadays. And he is just in awe. He's like, because we're in the room where, like, all the equipment and all, like, the circuit boards are that control everything in this place. And it's millions and millions of dollars. He's like, man, I'm so nervous. Like, everything's so expensive in here.
I just don't want to touch any wires.
He's like, I just want to touch nothing. I'm so afraid. So he's having a blast. But then we take him down into the bowels, and he gets to walk past where, like, the players come out, and they grab, like, their lunches that's ready. And sure enough, the one person we see is Andrew Berry. And I'm like, Andrew, I'm like, it's my nephew's first game. You know what that? You know he's the good luck charm. He's like, you better bring him next game. I'm like, you better give us some more tickets.
There you go.
So I got to meet him, and then we went on the field for a little bit, took a picture, and went home, and apparently he's been bragging to every person he has run into ever since.
Can you blame him?
No, I wish if someone would have done that to me when I was 12. Like, I think it's cool when I'm 41 years old. Imagine being 12 and being able to do that. Like,
getting a ball is sweet. I mean,
and
I've been on the field at Jacobs Field, back when it was Jacobs Field. Not before a game. It was a different event. We were doing a fundraiser for the cancer center. Got to do batting practice. You know, it was really cool. That was awesome. I've never been close to the field at the Brown Stadium. I've been in the tunnels for the same fundraiser. We did stuff there, but never been on the field. And man, that's gotta be something. And to be that age and have that experience.
I got you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. There's one caveat. If you got me, you got to get him too, because I would never hear the end of it if we don't take Jacob with us.
Maybe I'll just take him then.
You know, he would probably love you forever. He'd probably disown me.
I'll trade you that that Lego Eiffel Tower over there for that trip. And we are finally joined by my man, Kevin. How's it going, Kevin?
What's up, guys? Sorry, I was, you know, finishing up a little work.
Things.
I'm doing some
You're
things.
You're grinding.
Yeah, you know how it is out here.
We were just talking about our pretty much our Sunday, how I got to take my nephew and gotten the VIP treatment. And what was your thoughts on the games from Sunday? And we're going to do a little quick recap from you.
I mean, they did what they're supposed to do. We don't usually see Browns teams do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like most great teams are like, okay, we, you know, we got past that game. We had to play it. It was on our schedule. We did what we expected to do. For us, it's like, oh, we can actually play the way we're supposed to against the teams we're supposed to play that way against, so we can actually shut them out and hold them to 58 total yards. I think 41 were on the ground. Boy, the Arizona Cardinals are really, really up against it right now. I mean, now you're going to bring back Kyler Murray when you're 1-8. Like, what do you expect is going to happen? Do you want him just to make sure that he gets the rust off, just like Deshaun Watson did last year? Because you still believe in
him
going
trade bait next year. What can you get? Like, who knows? They're the Arizona Cardinals, Kevin.
I don't know. I mean, but everybody's always looking for quarterbacks, so someone will always pay for it. Especially
Carson Wentz just got a job again, so yes.
And why did he go to? Why is it the LA Rams? Like, what? I don't. I mean, I guess because Stafford is.
Someone's
got to
throw the ball, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
You look around the NFL. Like, there are some terrible quarterbacks playing right now.
Yeah, we've been there. Done with the. For right now, we're done with the quarterback conversation. It seems like the starter.
Our quarterback's practicing on our weekly basis, our regular basis now again.
Yeah, and he actually talked on a Wednesday. He talked on a Wednesday. He talked on quarterback day. So, you know, we're taking steps forward. What steps do we take on Sunday? Boy, I don't know. This one's going to be, you know, Jay, this one's going to be a tough one. We always have hope. And if they were ever going to really break through adversity and take things to another level this season, it would be to get a win on the road against Baltimore and start this back-to-back in the AFC North. You got a road game this week and a home game the following week. The two teams you already lost to in the division, you lose this one in the division, you can kiss goodbye. Now, people saying that the season's over after that, it's a little far-fetched because you can still make it in the playoffs and make a run. But
well, and right now, all the teams in our division are –
in
playoff
the playoffs
position, kind of so
yeah,
I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, I don't think it's ever made it. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a time where, you know, there were four teams in the division that were poised to be in the playoffs, but four teams have never actually made it.
Yeah,
but we, you know, there's no guarantee that this is going to happen either, because honestly,
we're going to start beating up on ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Now, look, Baltimore is surging. They got all their guys back. The last time we played them, they had all these injuries. Cincy has found their groove. Joe Burrow has found his groove. And look, Pittsburgh doesn't have a great quarterback, and everybody can make fun of him.
They find a way.
When they need a drive, Kenny Pickett comes to the rescue, and they get that drive. Somehow, some way. Dude. Coach Tomlin can't have a losing season to this point in his career as a Pittsburgh Steelers head coach.
The Steelers are like a gnat at the barbecue that you just cannot.
Yeah.
You're like, get out of here, go away, and you're just like, all right, it's gone. And then, I got here. It just keeps coming back, and they're so annoying. You can't kill them. They don't go away.
Right. So if you want to make a statement, You got to go into this game. This defense has got to stand up. Coach Schwartz, I know that everybody talks about how his defenses don't play well against mobile quarterbacks, and you have the ultimate mobile quarterback coming up on Sunday, and Lamar Jackson, the ultimate cheat code, the Madden player. I know we're going to talk to Mike McFadden later. Like, that's Madden personified out in the real life. That is Lamar Jackson. He's playing at an MVP level. Joe Burrow's getting back to that level. Again, Kenny Pickett isn't anywhere near that level, but he plays at that level when they need a drive. Guess what? your $230 million quarterback, got a little warm-up game last week, started to feel better throwing the ball downfield. The shorter passes weren't there. It's
time
it's
for
time
no more
to,
excuses.
Yeah. People are in. I guarantee you, we don't do what we want to do in this game, there will be excuses. I know that the offensive line is beat up. Look, at some point, you really have to embrace the next man up mentality and say, like, some of these guys aren't coming back. Jed Wills isn't coming back for four games. Jack Conklin's not coming back at all this season. You got to go with what you got. Look, a guy named Blake was able to play on this offensive line. Bill Callahan, work your magic. You have a whole week to prep. These guys have actually been around the team. It's not like Blake has to introduce himself to anybody or James Hudson has to introduce himself to anybody. Michael Dunn should be back next week. You got to get through this game. No more excuses. It's time to go. It's week 10. You don't have a bye week. You want to win the division. This week is the week, and we'll see where we go.
You can make a massive statement to everyone in the world if you beat this team, because everyone sees that right now they're at the cream of the crop right now. Everyone's loving the Ravens and praising the Ravens. Punch them right in the mouth and knock them right back down. And then we'll be the cream of the crop.
They did that back in 2018, but the guy in the backfield isn't there. So it's going to take a whole collection of them. It's going to take the guy that's under center. Again, that's making $230 million. You can say that to your blue in the face, and some people hate that you bring it up because they love Deshaun Watson. They just think he's the absolute winner, the absolute answer at quarterback.
It's either you hate him or you love him.
Well, we haven't seen the Deshaun Watson that everybody just thinks is going to miraculously show up. So he's going to have to outduel Lamar Jackson. I know that they're not facing each other. Kevin Stefanski's got we got to go 1-0 this week. All the players are saying that. They're following what the coach says. At some point in the division, I want to see. I don't have to hear it throughout the week. Trust me. I don't need to hear you say that we hate the Ravens. We see this as a big game, those types of things. I need to see it in your eyes. I need to see it in your play.
Internalize it.
Sunday. Internalize it. Bring it out on Sunday when the ball goes in the air at 1:00 this Sunday in Baltimore, Maryland. Show me that these divisional games actually matter in your building and you guys just love the coach speak, player speak the rest of the week. I want to see that. Yes, we're going to go at the Ravens. We're going to go at the Steelers. These guys have beat us up for too long. Steelers have been a rival of the Browns for forever. The Ravens are the old Browns. Feel that energy from the fans. Feel it. And I want to see it. These games count for two. Let's get after it on Sunday.
Here's one thing, too. There's no such thing right now as it was close, but we've just lost. It's like a semi-victory if you keep it close. No.
There's no moral victory.
No moral victory. Because I've seen teams on the Browns with far, far less talent put up a great fight against this team. Did they lose? Yeah, but they put up a great fight. Well, guess what? That team wasn't very talented. This team's got talent across the board. You want to be the number one defense. You want people to say you're number one. Come out and show you're number one.
It's the same thing we say with the Cavs. What did J.B. Bickerstaff instill in this team? Grit, determination, 50-50 balls, floor burns, being the team that outworks you. And if they lost at the end of the day when they kept it close against some of the best teams in the NBA, it was only because they didn't have the talent to match up. Now they have the talent to match up. You keep that gritty, down-to-earth mentality. Work, bring your hard hat, lunch pail, whatever it might be, bring that blue-collar mentality from Cleveland and also use the talent to your advantage because you're going to win a lot of games. Same thing for the Browns. Oh, all the moral victories. I hated the moral victory talk after the Seahawks game. You lost that one because, you know, whether you wanted to throw or whether you wanted to run, it's an interception. Defense doesn't get a stop, and you lose the game. You give up a touchdown at the end, a game you should have won in a tough place to play. I'm done with the, but we kept it close and this game didn't matter. All of these games matter. And if you
so we all agree on this? No moral victory?
No moral victory.
No moral victories.
Perfect.
Go out, punch the Ravens in the freaking mouth.
Beak.
And let's get after it.
Kevin, you brought up the Cavs. and they are in whatever this tournament is. And frankly, I'm just more confused than I ever been. Please tell me on the other side of this break that you could save me and explain this to me. What is going on? It's on. I'll it's try. Off. I don't know what's going on. And these courts.
I'll try.
Don't get me started.
You're watching The Voice of Land on the Big Play Network.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above-average hire-in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
One.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land, brought to you by Vector Technical. Kevin, what is going on? Is this tournament like an on-off thing? Is it like they play a couple games in the tournament, play one game, play a gumple? What? I don't know what's going on.
Okay. So with the in-season tournament, the NBA Cup, as they call it,
should have called it Kobe Cup.
Yeah, I mean, you could call it that. Yeah. Look, I didn't like the performance in the first game in Indiana, but Cavs are trying. Like, they've had probably the most different starting lineups to start the season in the entire NBA until Jared Allen and Darius Garland got back. Now they were in that game, and they. Just like the Browns, the Buckeyes, I don't know what it is about first halves. We just don't come out to play. And Indiana has our number. Sometimes there's those seasons where that one team just has your number. No matter if they're better or worse than you are, they just have your number. In terms of this NBA Cup, the games are split up so that they're not playing the NBA Cup just straight. They want to get as much money, as much viewership from it as possible.
They want to drag it out.
They want to drag it out, and these games still count towards your regular season record. So they kind of had to, I guess, schedule what NBA Cup games were when they scheduled those opponents that ended up in your pool. So we have Indiana. We have, I believe, the 76ers, the Atlanta Hawks, and somebody else. And you're going to play 2 home games, 2 road games. They've already played 1 road game. They're 0-1. You got to have the best record in your pool. I think there's 6 pools in each conference. So the best 6, and then the next 2 best records, 1 from the West, 1 from the East, will go into the quarterfinals. The top 8 go to the quarterfinals. You have to win your group. Cavs have already put themselves in a bad spot to win their group. They're probably going to have to win the other 3 to even have a chance to make it to the quarterfinals. Then you have your quarterfinal game that ends up getting scheduled. I think whoever wins plays like 83 or 84 games. The next best 4 teams, I guess, whoever wins the quarterfinal games, they go to the semifinals, which are going to happen inside that ball in Vegas or somewhere in Vegas, maybe where the summer league happens. The semifinals and finals will be played in Vegas with the winning team getting the NBA Cup and each player earning $500,000 each.
Side note, that ball makes me want to go to Vegas, and I've never wanted to go to Vegas. That thing looks cool. Kevin, this is all just – you explained it all, and frankly, I'm still pretty much confused a little bit.
I mean,
Do you think this thing is going to catch on? Or do you think it's just going to fade away?
I think they're partially doing it just to, you know, lend some weight to the regular season game.
Yeah, I get why they're doing it,
but it's...
I don't think it's, like...
I feel like
not
it's
overly explained.
Complicated.
Exactly. It's overcomplicated, and those floors are god-awful ugly and are a sore eye. Like, they're just annoying to look at.
The Cavs court's pretty nice.
Is that the one with the... I didn't see the Cavs... I thought they were all the same one. Was it just Indiana's that was god-awful?
I mean, it's just based on the color scheme that they're using. Like, I think the design is very similar, like where the color patterns go. But what the
all I know
is
whatever they played on in Indiana,
oh, that was
take
bad.
That court and just burn it. Get rid of it forever. It should never be seen again. But I mean,
it was bad.
I don't know if this tournament thing's going to catch on, Kevin.
I don't know. And the NBA has been growing into a global game for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of guys that when they go overseas, they're attending soccer matches. And there's, you know, LeBron is a partial owner of Liverpool, and the late great Mamba, Kobe Bryant, was, you know, he was born in Italy and grew up playing soccer and had an absolute love for the sport. Steve Nash, a Canadian.
I mean, just like soccer in general is becoming a lot more popular. If you haven't noticed, like Kevin, I know you notice obviously, but
right,
it is like, you got Welcome to Wrexham. You got a TV show. You got another movie coming out about soccer, which I was going to ask if you want to go see. But yeah, I mean, I see, like, I know what you're getting at, that they're getting into this tournament style kind of play and getting these cups and stuff. Do you think the American general public that are watching this give a damn? Like, maybe the players might buy into it because, one, you get a big paycheck for it if you do. And, I mean, everyone wants to win a trophy. If there's something to win, you're a competitor, you want to win. I really don't think fans are going to care. Like, oh, my team won the NBA Cup. Awesome. If you lose, we're like, whatever, let's just get back to the season and get to the actual finals. And I'm kind of probably being a Debbie Downer on this thing, but just because I personally don't care about it. I'm like, oh, NBA Cup. Yay.
Well, look at, excuse me. Look at soccer seasons where they're spread out. Like the Premier League is spread from August all the way to beginning of May. They do that because there's international breaks built in where guys go back and play for their countries in tournaments that are happening, or qualification for the bigger tournaments are happening. And sometimes you're playing 3-4 games a week because you also have to play Carabao Cup in England, the FA Cup in England. I know Spain, they have separate tournaments. So, like, it's the soccer concept, but I think you're trying to, while everybody thinks that the NBA season's way too long, and I understand why, I've felt that at times as well, I think you're smashing too much into one season, and it's very hard to separate the two when you're not used to this. So the average American fan isn't used to a professional league playing. Basically, you're playing a regular season to try to get to the playoffs, then win the NBA finals. But at the same time, within that same thing, you're playing for an NBA cup. Fans here aren't used to that. Like, you're playing for something else. It's not like, you know, these are the actual players on the team too. It's not like the Cavs winning the summer league. Like, none of the players that are impacting this year's team, well, most of them, maybe two of them are going to impact the team at some point in Isaiah Mobley and Amani Bates. But most of those players don't even make NBA rosters, and they win a trophy. Like, the Cavs won the summer league, but the Cavs did not win the summer league, if you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Now the actual Cavs are playing for an NBA cup, and they're trying to have a great record to put themselves in a great position for the playoffs, to then go try to win the NBA finals or win something this year. Again, fans here aren't used to that. Overseas and in other countries where soccer is dominant, they are. So the NBA is trying to do that, but I will give the NBA credit for this. I think that Adam Silver is willing to adjust back or admit that something's not working before it gets too far down the line. The NBA is going back in the All-Star game. They're going back to the East versus West format and the old style of the NBA All-Star game. So Adam Silver's admitting this whole drafting and the same players are drafting every single year. At least LeBron's drafting every year because he's getting the most votes and he's the most popular name. He admits that didn't work. They're going back to the old style, and then they got to figure out how to keep these guys motivated to actually play a basketball game, keeping themselves healthy, but giving the fans a show and a competitive game at the same time. Adam Silver's always working on those things, so I will give him credit for that.
Oh, I agree. You got to try something. Just doing the same old thing ain't going to get you anything new. You got to try something. So I'm still going to give it a try. Right now, like I said, I'm just confused. hopefully, who knows? Maybe when it gets close to the end, if we're in it, I'll get into it. But
What's the score of the game right now,
buddy? I have no idea.
Any score update?
I'll give you a score update.
Well, you know what? Why don't we come back after this break with the score update?
Sounds great.
All right, you're watching Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
One.
Welcome back into the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network. We are now with Mike McFadden, my man. How's it going?
Hey, doing good, guys. Thank you again for the invite. Second time on the show. Not first time listener, not first time guest. So it's good to be back. Thanks for the invite.
You're like officially a friend of the show.
All right. Sounds good. Firm handshakes all around. Love it.
I recognize that background, man. It's like I've been there before.
Crazy, right? Yeah, nuts. I know. It's deja vu-ish.
Yeah, I was just telling on the, in the beginning of the scene, I was so proud that my nephew picked out the Kozar jersey over that wall of all those jerseys. I'm like, I kind of like, there's a little tear brought up. I was like, oh.
He's had some good guidance. Clearly had some good guidance through life. And yeah, Bernie, man, that was I was honored enough to finally meet him this Hall of Fame season. Came up and was on the Big Play Reflog show, and there's Bernie and Hanford, obviously, and it was so cool to, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, that experience. I felt like I was young again, like you were saying, Jay, you know, like that whole 12-year-old, 13, 14-year-old experience. Like, I felt that way with Bernie. I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is the QB I watched growing up. And it definitely I don't get that, you know, that those fandom moments too much anymore where I'm just like knees shaking. But Bernie definitely induced that for sure.
Yeah, he did the same thing to me. I was down there at the studio for the New Year's Eve party with them. I'm like, man, I'm bringing in the New Year's with Hanford Dixon and Bernie Kozar. I'm like, life is good. Life is
very cool. And, you know, I got a jersey before over at the team shop across the street. And, yeah, they are steep, too. I felt that 200 pinch as well over there.
Yeah. Thank God I got the season ticket, like, discount. So we're not going to really talk too much Browns with you because, frankly.
Just a little bit. We'll come back to it. We can come back to it.
What
are
your thoughts on the season so far?
You know, hey, we're 5-2, period, the end. You know what I mean? I think a lot of the buck stops there. You know, you look at the win column, you look at the goal for the season, and that's to make the playoffs. I mean, those things are directly still in the crosshairs. You know, we as Browns fans and fans in general kind of really whittle into the week-to-week pitcher. And, you know, I think that comes from a lot of the entitlement that we feel with the $230 million deal, all the first-round draft picks. Being traded away, we feel like, hey, we kind of want a little more information going week to week. What is the status? Who's practicing? What's coming up? Like, there seemed to be a lot of drama, you know, swirling there for a couple weeks. But, you know, things have kind of and me, you know, I get as frustrated as anybody during that time as well. So I can feel, you know, I feel the same, a lot of that frustration that's out there. But, you know, it was this was a wait and see week for me. You know, can we do what we're supposed to do? And that's beat the Cardinals. Can you go out there and have a good showing? You know, these the words like rust, you guys brought it up a little bit earlier. It's like just getting so old, right? Is he gonna have more rust coming back now from the injury? Like, he just came back from the rust. Is he gonna have more rust from this time out? You know, those kind of concerns, man. And it's, you know, like I say, we've
Browns need a Rust-Oleum endorsement for sure.
you can only go so deep, and you got to have that metal down there somewhere, right? And that's what we're hoping for, you know. But the defense, we can lean on this defense. Our defensive coaching is amazing. I still I really believe Stefanski's a great coach. Sometimes I think under pressure, he folds, and the play calling sometimes goes amiss. The timeout calling kind of goes amiss sometimes. I'm one of those guys that would love to see him give up that offensive play calling so he can worry about those situational moments as the head coach a little more and focus in on those. But, you know, that's about my extent for the Browns talk. I mean, I was so hopeful this year, and to see Chubb go out week two.
Still not over.
You know, what was that? Week two now? Yeah. First Pittsburgh.
Week two.
God, it just hurts saying it, right? Like, I kind of want to throw up while I'm saying it a little bit. But, you know, it's squarely all on Watson now. You know, it used to be he had that security blanket of the best halfback in the league. You know, period, the end. Somebody that's on the track for Hall of Fame greatness. And now it's just squarely on Watson's shoulders. Obviously, he's got the defense, but all eyes are on Watson now.
I totally agree.
Boy, that trigger word list for Browns fans is just growing. Shoulder, rotator cuff,
zip,
rust, zip.
On paper is another fun one. I just cringe when
paper.
I hear it.
The on paper champions, velocity, all these different trigger words. And I don't want to, like you said, Mike, I don't want to spend too much time, but you did bring up Stefanski and something that, like, I know we didn't even get a chance to talk about, Jay and I, you know. Yes, he has those moments in crucial times in a game, but what do you think it says about him that if you look back at 2020, one of the most adverse things you can kind of go through as a first-time head coach with COVID and people can't be there, you can't see your team all the time, and this year we feel like we've lived a whole season week by week, day by day. That was another trigger word or trigger phrase. Day to day.
Yeah.
What do you think it does say about Stefanski, though, as a head coach, and especially for the Cleveland Browns? Kind of, he shows a little bit more to you in the most adverse times and gets his team through it.
Yeah, he's developed a lot more emotion over the years. You know, he used to be very stonewalled, very dry, and that was one of my biggest nitpicks. Was I really like the emotion like Schwartz shows over on the sidelines. And you know, I know what football does to me, and I'd like to see that do that to coach a little bit more as well. But, you know, he obviously has to be the guiding light, you know, the sailing ship straight ahead through adversity and whatnot. And I see him coming out with a little more emotion as time has gone, as like you bring up. So it's good to see. We're also seeing the grays set in big time, you know, as any head coach of the Browns goes through.
Being a Browns coach is like, it ages you like being the president.
It's like dog years for real, right? Like I've seen him develop a lot from just the smartest guy in the room to, hey, he's a little bit more vulnerable and showing a little bit more emotion for sure.
Well, I had to come on today because I recently finally have upgraded to the PS5. And when it comes to gaming, you're the man. Like, let's just be real. You know it all. And you're playing this VR football game. What is it? NFL. What is the name of it before I just totally
NFL it? Pro Era 2. They're on their second iteration right now. I'm doing some customer service work with those guys, helping out in Discord right now. So
and
really
you're
cool
currently ball. The quarterback of the Browns on your team,
I
right?
am currently the quarterback of the Browns on an 8-1 streak in virtual reality. It's an NFL licensed game. You're in the Browns locker room. You're chopping it up with teammates on the sideline. And I'm just dotting up defenses across the league. It's really cool. As somebody that's,
it's cool that you
hung
can
up the
send
cleats
videos
a long time
of the
ago.
Game.
Like, did you see the videos I posted?
Yeah, I seen you throwing it over the middle and throwing. It was just like you just drove right down the field, and then you sent me the one with you in the locker room walking around. I'm like, man, and I have what you have right sitting right behind you, and I haven't got the game yet.
It is, man. It is. It's just super immersive. I mean, it's not the most. It's not like if you're expecting to jump into photorealism, right? Okay, that's not quite up to that specs yet. But the whole immersion fact and being in the stadium and looking at the Ring of Honor, hearing the crowd, going out of the tunnel with teammates, it induces a feeling that it just not quite anything else has done for me before. It's like I say, as somebody that hung up the cleats like decades ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool to be able to get out there, and I'm chopping it up and chirping at the you know, the players while they're out there. You went on defense, you're on the sidelines, and you actually watch like the offense, the opposing's offense out there and your defense, and it's like you are into it. I'm on one knee and like looking down the line of scrimmage, and it's a blast. It's only like $30 on PSVR2, and it's it's a lot of fun. Highly recommend it, man.
Kevin, have you ever used VR yet?
I mean, I haven't used VR. Like, for me, it's somewhat of the motion sickness. Like, where I work, we had at training camp one time, we had like this VR game kind of created for us where it was like a QB passing camp, but it wasn't anything to the level of what you're doing, Mike. I mean,
so I think that might come from the same company, because Status Pro, who owns Pro Era 2, by the way, Hawk is CEO, Andrew Hawkins is the CEO of this company as well. So it's kind of close to home for all of us as well. But they actually started in the athlete training business, right? Where it was, simulations for actual athletes for that. So you might have been in one of their original setups, but this has kind of come from that. And it's kind of neat that it's gone into somewhat of the mass. But VR, it's like you say, that motion sickness, not quite for everybody, but you know, I think that this one, as far as compared to some other like climbing games that you're looking down like 20 feet or something like that, it's a little bit more manageable.
What I was gonna tell you, like, I, you know me, I get vertigo real easy and stuff. I get it all the time. You can't put, even put me on a spinny ride, I'm throwing up everywhere, it's over. But I could do the VR, so I would recommend trying it. And like he said, like, do simple games where you just got like guns, like little like laser guns I'll play you with, and you're kind of just looking around. Or you could just go on, like they have a map thing where you can go anywhere in the world pretty much, and then I could dial back. So whenever like Google Maps started going around driving pictures, so I went to my dad's house and went like 9 years back on my like virtual watch I got. It's insane, Kevin.
Yeah, there's Google Earth. Like I would fly and do business trips and whatnot. I'd hop into Google Earth VR, kind of check out the town, kind of fly in to get some familiarity. Actually, yeah, that is super cool. Also, living out my Jedi, my Jedi fantasies on the latest Star Wars game that was on there.
So I haven't played the Star Wars. I did the Beats game. What is it called?
Beat Saber. And
oh my god, I was into it. I don't remember what music. I'm just like, and I'm just thinking like they're all like droids coming at me. It's that game you would love, because I don't think that really messes up.
It's great,
like,
exercise too.
Oh, I was sweating, like pouring sweat, Kevin. I'm like, all right, I can game and I'm losing weight maybe. And then I bought PS5, and now I'm just sitting down playing. See, here's what I'm into now is the Spider-Man. I'm just getting into the Spider-Man games.
Great game. Yep.
The first one's amazing, Kevin. And I know you got a new kid. You ain't probably going to have a new console for the next forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, you upgraded your console. I upgraded my family.
You know, I know when Kevin's going to get his new system.
Yeah.
When he buys it for his son.
It's going to be like the PS10.
It could be like my Xbox, you know. My kids bought that for me for Father's Day.
And they use it more.
You can ask Jacob.
It's the Homer ball, the classic Homer ball from March, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, look, it has my name on it.
Oh, my goodness. So what games would you recommend for someone getting into gaming again? Because I've been out the game for so long, and I'm just getting into the Spider-Man game. I'm terrible at it. Like, I know how out of sync I am is my reaction, because they'll do the hit the X button, the circle button, triangle, and I'm like, okay, it's this one. Wait. And I have to, like, think about it instead of just seeing it and doing it like I once was, because I'm, like, I'm an OG gamer from the arcade days. Like, once they started adding buttons on the tops and you got toggle switches and stuff, I'm like, oh, man, this is so beyond where I was started from with A, B, and up, down, left, right.
That's a good question, man. Because it's pretty high level these days, right? Like, the video gaming business is bigger than the movie business right now. So it can be kind of intimidating to jump right in if you're a first-time gamer, you know. And I think one of my biggest recommendations, one of the games that I have had fun playing, that's a complete package, right? Like, it comes as a whole game. There's no DLC. There's no microtransactions. There's no any of that, is the Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy game. And I think just for any level, whether you're a fan or not, just the mechanics of that game, knowing that you're getting a full game without having to put any add-ons, it was kind of refreshing in the business, and I had a lot of fun playing it from beginning to end.
I know that Kevin's co-worker, Aaron Goldhammer, beat the game, so I'm pretty sure anybody can beat this game.
There you go, right?
Like, I'm not making fun of him. Like, he just got a new PlayStation 5, too. So he's not been playing. He, like, Kevin has kids and stuff. He ain't got time. And he beat it. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll get that one. I heard Red Dead is a great game to get into.
Will always be one of the greats, literally probably one of the top five games of all time from, you know, Rockstar Games. They actually just announced today that they're going to be releasing finally the long time trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. Grand Theft Auto 5 released back in 2013. We were all much younger back in those days.
Oh, that's why that's what that going out picture, yes, the before and after
exactly.
picture.
Exactly. We were all much different people back in 2013, like, you know, like pre-pandemic, like children back then. So it's funny to see those photos coming up now. But yeah, Rockstar, Grand Theft Auto is another one that's always just been great, that's looking forward to that next iteration. But any Rockstar game is going to be quality and a fun place to start too.
Those Grand Thefts are like, it's kind of them and Spider-Man game, because I could get lost and just literally swinging around New York City. And I'm just noticing, like, oh, let's go check out this city and let's see what that building's looking like. And I'm just messing around, seeing how I can do new tricks and learning out. And like GTA.
It's probably yelling at you. It's like, come over here and do your
first
mission.
Yeah, yeah, shut
please.
Up. I got things to do here. You know, you'll be fine. Someone else, there's other superheroes in the city. Like, I got stuff to do. And like Grand Theft Auto, I've never once played. I played hours of that game back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I've never once played a mission.
Oh, yeah.
Played a mission.
Vice City. Love
just,
Vice
like,
City.
We would time how fast
just
once
like
you
Miami.
Got to five
exactly
star.
Like Miami.
And then we would time how long you could stay alive while having five stars. And that was like our little competition amongst our friends. And it always cracked me up because you put the code in, the guy's like moving around like a weirdo. It's great. Kevin,
yeah,
what
was
your
say
game
the cheat
back
code
in the day?
Is the one. What's that?
I'm asking Kevin what his games were like back in the day. Like, what did you enjoy playing?
So I did not get into gaming until I was 18, 19, because my parents wouldn't really buy us, wouldn't buy my sister and I video games. I mean, they couldn't really afford them. If they wanted to put their money together, they try to put it off as that they, you know, we weren't allowed to have them, but I know and respect them a lot more now because I know that they couldn't afford that stuff. I mean, I had a Game Boy Color growing up, so, you know, I played the Pokemon, awesome. You know, a lot of those different types of games. I still have my Game
that's
Boy
an
Color.
All-time game right there, that Pokemon for Game Boy. I've never played it, but I looked up like all-time games, and that's like a legendary game.
Yeah, I broke that out a little bit ago and started playing that again. But yeah, I mean, it was once I got into gaming, it was more like the sports games, Madden, FIFA is kind of my, just being the soccer guy that I am, FIFA's always kind of been that avenue for me. The first game system, and it's, you know, it's probably, you know, I tell the story, and I used to tell the story, and people gave me, like, dirty looks. Now it's, like, you know, understand, parents wouldn't get it, but the first game system I got at 18 was a Wii. So, you know, because the whole family could get interactive with it, move around, things like that, and I think Nintendo's kind of just been that game system for me. Now we have the Switch, and I can connect with my sister out in Seattle, Washington, and play Mario Kart. We can go driving around, we can be doing that kind of stuff. And they have the old Nintendo, like original Nintendo and N64 type games on there with those types of graphics that you can play on the Switch. So that's where
I
we're
bought
at.
That Switch, and that's all I played was like Nintendo games. Yeah. I'm like, so that's why I ended up trading that in, and I went with the PS5.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have the PS4, and like I have the first Spider-Man game. I don't know if they did a PS4 version of Spider-Man 2, but
oh yeah. Not a Spider-Man 2, but there's always a Spider-Man title floating around here.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, I mean, we're just going to keep the game systems that we have. But I mean, I just, you know, if we get time, we just like to play the games that we can kind of connect with family on. That's really what video gaming is for me. Some people get into it competitively. Some people get into it just because, you know, it's their thing to do on the side. Other people get into it because you can connect with family. And I love how video games
FOMO.
I had
FOMO whenever I played Spider-Man. I was like, I'm listening to the radio, they're talking about Spider-Man. Everyone at my work is playing Spider-Man. I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna be Spider-Man.
That was us with Hogwarts Legacy, like Mike just mentioned. But I think this month or maybe next month, it's supposed to be coming out on the Switch. That's what we've been waiting for, was the Switch version of it, because we definitely want to play
Guru,
that.
You got any news on that? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
I do not, actually. That's a good question. I'm not sure of that one. I love the Switch, though, because of the fact of what you're talking about, like that family interaction, being able to all link up on that. And that's kind of the gaming I've kind of starting to really adopt here. I kind of was into the more hardcore gaming, and now it's just the past few years, it's just been, I've become way more casual. In fact, I haven't picked up Madden very much this year at all, and VR gaming has actually kind of reinvigorated gaming for me, doing a lot of stuff that new things that I haven't done before. So, you know, I think Switch is due for an update, so I think you can expect a new iteration of the Switch here pretty soon, and I think that announcement might be coming this year, actually, so take a look for that.
I was told Hogwarts Legacy on the Switch was going to be July, then November, but I haven't seen anything. I'll have to look when I get home, but that's, I think, the game that we're FOMO on, like how far behind we are, like Hogwarts Legacy will be that next big game that everyone was talking about several months back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That we'll end up getting it.
Yeah, I'm always the guy behind. So we'll be behind together, Kevin.
All right.
But mentioning Switch, we're going to switch from the Guru Game Master to Captain McFadden on the other side of this break.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land. I am your host, Always Positive Jay. We are brought to you by Vector Technical. With me is Kevin Arnold, Mike McFadden.
They get the right person, the right job the first time.
They do, and they do a great job at it. And Mike, this summer I got to go down to Florida and meet you and your wife in person with my fiance. And I must say, if you ever wanted to open like a tour guide, or you wanted to be take people on fishing trips, you were the man at it, because you were
charter captain.
Yes, because you are a fantastic host. That was an amazing day. Tiffany might have almost died from heat exhaustion, but we had the what would you call it? What kind of AC? Instant AC.
We had the free AC, which is when you're going like 35 knots, you get that free air conditioning. So that was the air conditioning system we had.
Tell these guys, because I never told them about the adventure you took me on down the river.
Yeah, so we're on the Loxahatchee River, which is one of the last natural rivers here in Florida. Which, just for a little background, I have I do take people fishing charters and tour charters here in South Florida. Mostly word of mouth. I don't do any advertising. It's just family and friends like yourself. So, back to the Loxahatchee. It's one of the last just free-flowing natural rivers. It goes, up 20-plus miles inland. We took it about 13 miles inland to a place called Trapper Nelson's, which was a guy that came to the area in the 1930s and basically lived off the land selling furs and making a zoo that held native animals and really
Kevin,
just a wild man, right?
1930. We pull up to this dock, and I swear it looks like something from the scariest movie you might have ever seen. This thing's made in 1930 and is as strong as ever, dude. And it blew my mind.
Yeah, it's this. I had the same reaction the first time. It looked like something that was going to fall apart when I docked up to it. And this river isn't a stagnant river. It's flowing like 5 knots of current, and it changes with the tide. And you're talking, you know, 4 feet of tide. So it can go anywhere from 4 feet of depth to 1 foot of depth. So it's kind of treacherous. And, I have a boat that can float pretty shallow, and we're playing the Jurassic Park theme as well.
Oh, I felt like I was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It's pretty wicked. And you go up, and it's all of his old living habitats. It's all of his old cages that he built, still standing from 1930 and still is as strong as ever. And it's a pretty cool trip. I want to just bring up my shirt here, by the way.
All right.
We got to give Jay one of these ships. Because Jay was an hour late.
Yes.
So we've got to get him one of these as soon as possible.
And, dude, if you guys know me, like, I'm constantly, like being on time is so important to me all the time. And, I'm so mad at myself. And he's just like, it's all right. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I was literally born on the day
they
predicted me.
Sorry to expose
me.
You, man. I'm sorry to expose you.
Oh, no, I totally deserved it. I was mad at myself. I'm still mad at myself. I was like, how can I be late? This dude's just sitting at the docks waiting for me.
Oh, what a shame, right? Sitting on my boat on the water. No big deal.
I may have been at that point doing like, I'm not even going to say how fast I was doing that. I might incriminate myself.
But we had a lot of fun.
I've seen how fast you go, Jay.
Yeah, Kevin leaves and goes on the freeway at the same time. We usually don't drive next to each other for very long.
There's times I get like 5 minutes ahead of you, and before we hit our split to go our different ways, you are just flying past me, and I'm wondering where in the heck.
There's a reason Jay doesn't have a motorcycle. We'll just put it that way, because I have a need for speed, and it's bad. But...
Well, you were probably among fellow drivers here in Florida.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. So, yeah. Dude, that's scary down there. They're crazy. Now,
if you're not going 90, you're going too slow in the fast lane, you know, for sure. It's hilarious.
Mentioning fast lane and adventure, you just went on one of the craziest adventures of your lifetime. Tell us about it, Mike.
Yeah, it was super cool. I got invited up to Gloucester, Massachusetts, which Gloucester is a historic fishing town in the United States, hundreds of years old, and helped establish the American economy, basically, back in the day, and purely a fishing town. So it was really cool with being a lifetime fisherman to be surrounded and steeped in that history and be invited up by Captain Dave Marciano, who is from Wicked Tuna fame. He's actually one of the only captains that's been on every season of Wicked Tuna, which I think it's up to its 13th season now. So he is an OG. And let me tell you, I thought it was a charter that I was going to be on with multiple people. Invite, hey, hop on for the day while we have this charter going. It literally was a private charter. He picked me up from the hotel himself. We went, he introduced his wife and his dog, and it was just us out at sea all day long.
Well,
so
hold
that
on,
was
on.
The first just like
so he,
amazing
he picked
thing.
You up
yeah from the hotel
all right, just,
talk
you
about
me,
service
you didn't
man.
Pick me up that's all I'm saying
I know
maybe
right?
I wouldn't have been late
stop making excuses Jay
right excuses
trying.
Sounds like a Browns excuse but Dave like talk about consummate professional man the way this guy he's been doing it for so long. Every single thing he said was going to happen happened that day. So I flew in and just had time to catch a nap before we went out at 2 a.m. the next morning. It's a 2-hour trip out to the spot. And just if nobody has seen Wicked Tuna, these guys are catching 500, 600, 700, 800 pound tuna, right? Bluefin tuna, North Atlantic bluefin tuna. And you're talking about a car underwater is one way I put it on the video, right? Like an actual Volkswagen. And we hooked into one out there, and it took over an hour to bring that fish to the boat. It drug us over 3.5
Yeah, I had
miles.
To watch your video at 2 times. I was like, all right,
this
is going to be long.
Oh, thank you, man.
A lot of cranking going on there. And I'm like, man, I'm watching this at 2 times the speed, and I'm getting tired watching you, dude. Like how
I would literally cut out so much of it too, man. So much of that was cut. I only put parts that were like talking or something was, but there was so much just reeling that was cut out. And I actually had to get in shape for it. I was lifting. I took 2 kettlebells and was like doing this with kettlebells for 2 weeks before I went. And thankfully I did because it was, you want to talk about a burn. There were many times I just wanted to give up, but it was like, yeah, okay. In front of Captain Marciano, that's yeah. already cursing like on the show. I got yelled at, which is like, awesome. I was on the show. You know what I mean? So it was amazing. Got it up to the boat, and it was unfortunately out of season, so we couldn't keep the fish. There's like seasonal licenses that they have to buy and blah, 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 and things like that. We were
if
out
not,
of season.
There would be no tuna left, pretty much, I believe.
No, it's highly regulated, yeah. And thankfully so, because it would just be fish to absolute extinction.
They make huge money on those fish.
Tens of thousands of dollars shipping them over to Japan. They're paying crazy, wicked money for those tunas.
Yeah, so imagine if they didn't have it regulated, there would be no tuna.
Be gone.
You know, humans can always, you know, just stop themselves.
Humans suck. That's why. Yeah.
Trying to do. Go animals.
That's why robots and AI are about to take over.
Either that or you're a rabbit, one of the three.
Oh, there's God, a company in Japan named Cyberdyne. I mean, like, that's all I know. It's
are you joking?
Yeah.
Someone
no,
actually did
it
that?
Exists. No, it's in Japan, and it's called Cyberdyne, and it's an AI.
All right, I have one question. Has The Simpsons talked about this yet?
If they have, we're all doomed.
Yeah, if the Simpsons did it, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, so anyway, check out that video over on YouTube if you haven't seen it, Kevin. It's about a half an hour vlog style. It's one of the first I've put together. Like,
he's got tons of good videos on there, Kevin. You'd love it. And you guys both got to get down there and go with this guy, because next time I'm going fishing. Like, Tiffany wants fishing.
I've been a little
I don't
busy,
matter.
All right?
I'm going fishing.
Been a little busy.
Take your family on a vacation already. Take them to the beach. I mean, your wife had a
always
kid.
Welcome.
You don't think
Doors
she deserves
open.
To go to the beach? See how
yeah,
I did
she
that?
Loves the beach. Yeah, she loves the beach.
See, now you got to go.
I know.
You just
I know.
Buried yourself.
I'm going to hear that when I'm going to hear about it when I get home.
Well, Mike, it was a blast. Thank you for coming on again. And I can't wait to get back down there. Like, that was you, what Wicked Tuna was to you, your trip was to me. That's how I could put it.
Awesome, man. Well, I definitely appreciate that. And like you said, we'll get some lines in the water next time. Enough of this pleasure cruise stuff. We're going to put you to work next time you're here.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
All right. I'll get down there too. And I can go right to work. I can go right to work. I don't need like the initial, you know, I don't need to be eased into it like Jay. I can go to work right away.
Love it, guys. The door is always open. Audio, appreciate you're invited it. Too. Kevin, Jay, thanks again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Kevin, you're closing us out, man.
All right, I'll do it. Where am I? I'm not even in the screen.
You're here.
I don't see my...
I see you.
There I am.
We got to do a little adjustments for some things here, so, you know.
I know. I kind of screwed things up. I might screw things up next week, too. Maybe we ease off on a guest next week, just in case I have to do this again. Yeah. Make it easier on audio. He can't do everything.
I try to space the guests out. I like to go on little runs where we don't have them, and I like to have like a couple in a row, and yeah. Sometimes like I just don't get them.
It's not like we won't have anything to talk about either. No. So, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up, and Jay, you sent me a picture this week. We need to post that next week and have a conversation.
You like that picture?
We need to have a reminder
hey,
to
Kevin,
people next
well, hold
week.
On. Before we go, did I hear you do a read at your job for any something Christmas shopping or something? I'm pretty sure I heard him do it. So wait, they paid you to talk about Christmas, so you did it.
No excuses.
They get paid to sell it. You got paid to say it.
Look, that was the worst hour of my life putting that together because I had to read it. I had to go find holiday music and put it underneath. But
so you did all that so you can get paid.
But I'm also a great teammate. I'm a great teammate to our partners, and I'm always going to over-deliver for our partners. I'm going to do a great job.
Like businesses are great teammates to their customers, and they'll always get them what they want.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what I got to do. That's what my job does. Like, I know.
I heard it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get him for this one.
Well, it's not the same thing, all right? We can talk about that more next week.
Send that
picture to Peter. We need to put it up on the screen, and we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have another PSA.
We'll hash it out again.
The yearly reminder that Thanksgiving still is a holiday. We'll get into that next week, but for this week, that is going to wrap up this edition of The Voice of Land. For Always Positive, Jay. For Peter Tella, better known as Audio, what Jarvis was to Iron Man, Audio is to The Voice of the Land. I'm Kevin Arnold, reminding all of you, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. We truly love you all, 3,000.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
And live life, all gas, no brakes. We'll see you next time on The Voice of the Land, part of the Big Play Network, brought to you by Vector Technical, who gets you the right person and the right job the first time. I got it right. We'll see you next time, right here. The Voice of the Land.